Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 72, Devices and Client Operating Systems for the Future. Here we go. Today I have back with me the best guest ever, Mr. Jason Perlow. How you doing, Jason?
Yay, Rickatron. What's up, dude?
Hey, I'm rocking. And I was kind of, you know, I've been enjoying your tweets of late. You've gone through a big move. Tell everybody what's up.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Well, right now I have moved to South Florida from New Jersey. And it is different, and it's more different in Florida than I could possibly ever imagine from New Jersey. Florida is one giant strip mall with palm trees, basically. You know, the town that I moved to is kind of, it's like somebody played Sim City, mm-hmm. You know, because like everything is like arranged in sort of like square pieces, right? That's commercial, which is sitting next to another square piece, which is residential. And then there's another square piece, which is industrial. So literally, if you played the old Sim City, the original one, that's exactly how it was laid out.
Yeah, so there's no building around the rivers and hills, right? It's draw it up and fill it in the way you want.
And any rivers and hills that you have been completely landscaped.
I think the highest elevation in Florida is only like 30 feet.
No, the whole it's flat as a pancake.
I mean, yeah.
There's basically no need to own an SUV or anything like that around here.
Well, you know, that does just be, you know, it might rain or something.
Yeah, it's been raining a lot, actually. I mean, in Florida, like in the summer, they call that the rainy season. So, like, you know, because, I mean, it's hurricane season, yeah, but it's also the rainy season. So we've been getting, like, 6 inches of rain in, like, you know, 2 or 3 days. You know, so, like, it like, deluges in the morning, mm-hmm. like, with crazy amounts of rain, and then it gets sunny at, like, 6 o'clock at night.
Well, actually, I went to the most authoritative resource, Wikipedia, and I have just confirmed that the highest elevation in Florida is 345 feet, and that is in Central Florida, Walton County. So, now we know. But no, everything going good? You functional? All you settled in and stuff?
Kinda. You know, I got this new AT&T U-verse thing. I wanted to get Verizon Fios down here, and apparently there's no Verizon Fios south of Tampa. So I was totally spoiled in New Jersey with 100 megabit, internet.
Mm, the Crimea River.
A whole 16 megabits coming into my house.
Can you call FEMA for that? I mean, come on.
I don't know.
This is a real problem here.
I can't even get 4G or 3G service near my house because apparently the local towns don't allow you to, like, you know, put up, like, cell towers. So, like, I'm in, like, the town which I'm like, between two towns which has cell towers, but the town that I'm in doesn't have any. So I'm in, like, a complete dead zone.
Well,
I put a femto cell in my house to get cell service.
Don't they have those palm tree cell towers down there? No, I'm serious. Have you seen them? They're like in Georgia, they've got pine tree cell towers, and in Arizona, they look like palm trees, but they're actually cell towers. Have you seen those?
Yeah,
things?
But they don't have palm trees that are 200 feet tall. So it's like,
I don't know, man. But you're having to slum it with 3G and 16 megs at home.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think you'll be all right. So I'm moving over to U-verse myself. I hope it goes well, actually. So no, man. Hey, I'm glad the move's gone well. I've enjoyed your tweets, and you've got a whole new array of restaurants to choose from. That's cool, also.
Yeah.
So what we want to talk about, Perlow, I was, you know, spying around your blog, the Tech Broiler blog at ZDNet, one of the best, and I'll put notes to that in the podcast notes, everyone. But basically, you know, some of the new tablets that are out, right? You know, got iPad 3, Nexus 7, and what are some of the other ones you've been playing with recently?
Well, obviously, you know, I just got my Nexus 7, so I've only had it for like 3 or 4 days. Mm-hmm. It's a cute little tablet, but it's basically a cell phone on steroids, because it's got it's a 1280 by I believe 720 display, so it's just about the same, excuse me, 1280 by 800, which is very similar to the 1280 by 720 display on the cell phones. So we really it's a cell phone without a cell phone built into it, but it's 7 inches, I guess it's diagonal display, size. So you can hold it in your hand. So it's like about the same size as a Kindle Fire. It's got a quad-core processor. It's got the Tegra 3 NVIDIA chipset. So it is pretty fast.
So it's like a phablet.
It's a phablet, yeah.
Sorry. It's
like a metrosexual tablet, basically.
Nice.
A phablet.
Among Android, though, Android's had a tough time delivering in this non-phone space, right? How would you say, is this the best Android one yet? Or
I think this is the best Android tablet that has been released, but at the same time, there aren't a lot of native tablet applications. So I guess the way that Google has gotten around this is by giving it the same display resolution as the high-end smartphones. A lot of developers don't have to really recode their apps to be tablet, optimized. So it's really leveraging a lot of the smartphone software that's already out there. It is, an inexpensive device. It's only about $200 if you can find one now. I ordered mine the day it was announced. So I know that they're completely sold out on the Google Play Store. So there's a 2 to 4 week lead time before you can even get one now.
Wow.
So it's a snappy little device. I mean, if you're going to use it to, read Kindle books and browse the occasional web page, do some Gmail, play some Android games and use Android smartphone apps. I think it's fine. I still prefer my iPad.
Yeah, that's a tough one to dethrone in the space, but, that's really the target they're all working for. And then there's the other half, right? Windows RT and the Windows 8 tablet.
That's a real big... question mark. There's no question in my mind that I think that Windows 8 is going to be a major game changer. The question is whether the enterprise and the consumers are going to lap it up in terms of what version they use. Is it going to be the Windows RT version that people are going to like, or is it going to be the full Windows 8 professional version? Obviously, in the last several weeks, we've heard about the Surface, which is going to be Microsoft's own hardware, right? So after 30 years, they're going to start making actual PC hardware. So the Surface, which looks like a great tablet, by the way, and it looks like the Microsoft engineers did a phenomenal job. I think the manufacturer that they chose was one based out of Taiwan. What was the name of the company? I don't think it was Quanta. I think it was one of the others.
Foxconn?
It wasn't Foxconn. It's another big, it's one of those big, giant Chinese companies.
Right.
But they did a tremendous job, designing the casing, which is made out of magnesium. And it's a very sharp-looking device. I mean, it's definitely something that I think professionals will feel great carrying around and walking into the boardroom with. But it comes in two different flavors. They've got the Windows RT version, which runs on ARM.
From a processor standpoint, right? ARM processor. Right.
ARM processor, right? And they also have one that's going to be Intel-based, which is going to come out about, plus 90 days from Windows 8's, release to market, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we know that, Windows 8's coming RTM probably sometime in August. So figure October is when they're going to release it to retail. And so figure November, December, January, February is when that pro version that's x86 based is going to come out. And that's going to basically compete against the lower end Ultrabooks.
Right. So, and it'll also have that full Windows 8 function, and you can put it on domains and all that stuff, right?
You can put it on domains, you can run the full blown version of Microsoft Office on it, you can run all your legacy x86 Windows applications, all that stuff. Whereas the RT is really limited to the stuff you can get from the Windows Store, right, that runs Metro applications, and the quote unquote desktop functionality is limited to Microsoft's ported version of Office, but it's kind of like a mini-me version of Office. It's not the full-blown one.
And then the unit cost is going to be different as well, right? RT.
Yeah, totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Windows RT version they're saying is going to be around... They're saying... I think the language they used was competitive with other you know, ARM tablets. So I figure if it's competing with the iPad, it'll probably start off at around 500, maybe 550, 600, depending on what, how much other stuff they put on it, right? Maybe it's going to have a bigger hard drive. Maybe it'll have more RAM in it. So maybe we're figuring around $550, $600 probably. Mm-hmm. And then you figure the professional version is going to be at least, you know, $700, the one, the x86 version. Mm-hmm. So, they're gonna be more expensive than the tablets we use now, but hopefully more functional, right? I mean, like, we haven't really been able to do real office stuff, real PowerPoints, real Visio, any of that kind of stuff on a tablet. And, you know, as of yet.
And it's, you know. Yeah, you can find workarounds, but it sucks, I'll be honest with you, right?
Yeah,
I'm using remote desktop, I'm using VMware View, all those types of apps that, you know, can, you know, put the square peg in a round hole, but it's not native, right? And so, from the operating system standpoint, right, Windows 8 is, like, built with gestures in mind, right? So, you were gonna see it, it's gonna be as good as it can be, I guess, in the Microsoft realm. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, and at the same time, you know, Microsoft itself is moving their software to a more of a cloud-based model. If you look at Office 2013, it's got a lot of cloud stuff already built into it, mm-hmm. and they're really moving towards more of a subscription type of a thing. So they may be end up putting Office in the cloud for these, you know, these thin devices to use. And they'll charge you, say, I don't know, $75, $100 a year for the privilege of using Office. And I guess if you're an enterprise, you know, they'll do more volume type discounting. But we're starting to see software move towards subscription based rather than having to buy new licenses every couple of years. And, personally, I mean, I don't mind doing that because, there are only certain pieces that I need, you know, I may not want, for example, Access or any of those other applications. If I can pick and choose from a menu of which Microsoft applications I can run, that's fine with me.
Right. You know? Right. Is the PC dead though? You know, I'm starting to wonder. I don't think it is, but you know, iPad's clearly winning there, and I'm going to put the MacBook in the category of a PC because it's
right.
It's a form factor more than the operating system, right? But you know this interface, right? Very consumerized driven, right? It's very easy to use, especially for new people entering the workforce, right? Very intuitive, both iOS and what's coming with these Windows 8, and then of course the Android tablets. Man, the good thing about PCs, right, is the price keeps going down, but do you still see a need for them?
Well, I think the personal computing experience is still quite valid. I think the question is how are we going to be accessing that personal computer experience? I think a lot of that activity is going to be moved to the server. So we're going to be seeing a lot of our traditional applications, our big, what I would call fat desktop apps, right, are going to be moved to servers running hypervisors, right, virtual machines. And from there, we'll be able to access them from these very thin, light, basically, I mean, in the olden days, we called them thin clients, but today we're really talking about tablets and some type of a smart terminal. So the tablet, it's obvious as to what we're looking at now, right? iPads, you know, Android pads, those type of things, even Windows 8 pads, Windows RT pads. There will also be, I think, desktops, which are going to be light desktops. They won't be, we'll access them the same way we use PCs now, you know, with a mouse and a keyboard and a monitor, some type of a screen. Mm-hmm. But, what's powering them will not necessarily be this big honking, Pentium,
piece of furniture.
You know?
Yeah, it's not going to be a landmark in your living room anymore.
No, it's not going to be this big honking thing that makes lots of noise and generates a lot of heat. It'll be this thing the size of a cigarette pack plugged into your monitor or even built into your monitor.
Yep.
You'll get the same, you'll get a desktop experience of some sort, but as to what's powering it may be a big honking server, you know, 300 miles away in a data center.
Right, and then we're also going to get to the point, and this is, you know, a couple generations ahead, but the processor you can stick on the back of a monitor or display unit, that's going to be able to do a lot, like video rendering and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, so, I mean, but look at what's in the iPad already and the Tegra 3 that's built into that Nexus 7. I mean, these are systems on a chip. that have, you know, you can put several gigs of RAM on them, probably, you know, 100, 200, 300 megabytes of video RAM. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you throw a 64 gig to 128 gig of flash storage on them. Plus these things will eat up, you know, maybe 1 to 2 watts of power, you know, two watts of power, you know, versus, you know, like 15, 20 watts of power or more on a large desktop. You know, you're looking at you're going to have the power within these embedded processors, which the most powerful workstations had 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, understood. And the displays just keep getting bigger and less expensive. And I'll be honest with you, I love it now. I mean,
dude, I just bought a 70-inch television, a Sharp television. It was $2,500. 70
inches. It's crazy.
Do you know what that technology would have cost to make 5 years ago?
I mean, and you, is it just for television, or are you hooking up a PC, HDMI?
You know what? I can put a PC on it. I can do video conferencing if I want. It's got Netflix built into it. But I could hook up my HDMI. I could put, my Mac on it or a PC if I wanted to.
You know, it's funny. This is just unrelated, but I was at an event. We had a big TV screen mounted on the wall, and it had a USB port on it. I plugged in and was charging my phone during the event.
Yeah, it's got two USB ports on it, the one I just bought.
I mean, it's crazy. It's like they're so, you know, the display technology really has a lot to offer too, and it'll soon help in what we do in the broader category of end user compute. I mean, touch screens probably can't be far off. I don't know. I'm not a fan of touch screen of a fixed screen. Something free and moving like an iPad, tablet, or something is good. But, you know, walking up to the wall, those are always
awkward. You know, I don't know if you've seen it yet. There was a demo of a device. It basically plugs into like a USB port, and it's about the size of it's smaller than a cigarette pack. I think it was about the size of a pack of gum. Like one of those big packs of gum.
Mm-hmm.
And you set it on the table, and it's basically kind of like a Kinect, but it was much more sensitive, and it was much smaller than a Kinect unit. I mean, like I said, it's about the size of a pack of gum, and you could literally do like Minority Report type of UI with it. It could track every single one of your fingers on both of your hands independently. And so if you think about the type of user interfaces that are coming, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the line, you know, we're going to be seeing, much more motion-sensitive human interface type of applications. You also have to think about wearable computing as well. I don't know if you saw any of the demos of the it was the Project Glass over at Google I.O. where they had those guys jumping out of the sky.
Yeah, if you didn't see that, you have to turn in your geek card, everyone. That's the coolest thing ever.
That was crazy. But what they didn't show was like the what each of those sky jumpers were seeing in their eyes as they were falling. Apparently, the Project Glass has the ability to, you know, display certain information while you're using. So it's literally a true wearable computer. I believe that they interface with Android phones over some type of wireless communication. I think they use some type of high data rate Bluetooth. Mm-hmm. So essentially that these glasses are an extension of your phone, which will be your most important computing device. So I'm wondering how much of this can be done via, you know, augmented reality type of interfaces as well.
I don't think there's a limit. I really don't. I saw the Google I.O. demo of all demos, and then was it last year or the year before at VMworld, they had the wearable computing, augmented reality, and then, you know, advanced display technologies that just, you know, bring the computer out to you, right? Everything.
Yeah, and this was something that's been possible for at least the last 10 years as far as this, the software under development. I mean, I saw some of the earliest wearable computer stuff and AR stuff that was done for the military about 10 years ago. They developed a wearable system for people doing maintenance work on aircraft and helicopters.
and they allowed the, for example, maintenance technicians to see all the maintenance manuals and stuff online while they were looking at the engines and the avionics.
Right.
And those were things that weighed about, 10 pounds or so. So, I mean, if we can actually get high resolution, displays that allow you to superimpose video on a fairly light pair of glasses that are wirelessly connected to a cell phone type device, that are, that are complete motion sensing and all that, you're going to see some very interesting technology within the next 5 or 10 years.
I think also it has to, be little, and I dare I say it has to be fashionable, right? You don't want to overgeek the look, but, I wear my computer, right? I wear my phone on a lanyard. It's a little bit south of cool, but it's right downtown and convenient. But I think it has to get a little bit more fashionable, a little bit more embedded, get a big designer brand to put it in a fancy pair of glasses or something, and that's all it's going to take, I think.
Yeah, you get guys like Oakley involved and all the various designer accessory wear type folks involved, from the Project Runway type people, and you're going to see computers fully integrated with clothing, and that's going to be interesting.
Well, right now it's available now, and it's not quite as advanced as this, but have you seen of the Scott E vest?
Yeah,
that's cool.
That's like the ultimate geek vest if you're carrying too much crap.
Yeah, that's me. Well, I start just clipping it on my lanyard and clipping it on my carabiner on my belt. I start jiggling and shaking everywhere.
I have a much more advanced device than the Scotty vest.
What's that? It's called
my wife's pocketbook.
Nice.
So I actually have my wife, follow along with me with her big, pink, leather pocketbook, and I just say, honey, just take all this crap from me while I'm up.
Nice.
Take my keys, take my phone, So it's actually good to be married.
Right on.
Because they make really good walking portable accessory bags.
And there's always seems to be additional room. That's the good news too.
Yes, always room in that pocketbook. it's like bottomless. It's like the Time Lords from Doctor Who designed them.
Well, hey, Perlo, this has been awesome. Just kind of keeping it light today, thinking about new operating systems, new devices. It's going to be big, and we're nowhere near done. Glad to hear the move's going well, and hope to have you back again sometime.
You will.